This is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Friday, July the 5th, 2019. And I hope you're ready for some partial sun, but a few thunderstorms with a high of 87 and a low of 71. And we'll start out the morning with an article about our pets. It says, here's a picture of Lisa Paul reading to Mac, a German Shepherd, on Thursday at the Humane Society of Central Illinois in Normal. And Mac is an adorable German Shepherd. He's in a big crate, and he looks very intently at Ms. Paul. The title of the article is Pet Project Keeping Peace for Animals. Keeping the Peace for Animals. And it says volunteers work to lessen the stress during fireworks. Sam was never fond of Independence Day because the 13-year-old rescue dog died in April. His owner, Amy Goddard, wanted to spend the 4th of July surrounded by shelter dogs, making sure they knew they were safe. Sam was very afraid of fireworks, so I can only imagine these guys are afraid too, and confused, said Goddard of Bloomington. The Humane Society of Central Illinois brought in 30 volunteers, willing to skip the celebration to sit with animals and make sure they made it through their scariest day of the year. It only takes one kid popping off a whole bunch of fireworks to make it loud in your area, said Tim Anderson, HSCI board president. Sitting with a 6-year-old Yvette Goddard said at the end of the night, it would be hard to resist taking one of the pups home. Every time someone new came in the room, the Beagle Mix and a few other dogs became a little antsy, but Goddard talked her back down. Kay Richardson, the president of the Corn Belt Kennel Club, brought the idea for the sit-in to the shelter, having seen other organizations paying extra attention on the 4th. She spent the holiday with the shelter's hamsters and reading children's books. The Kennel Club helped to sponsor the event, supplying treats for the humans. The Humane Society made sure all the cats, dogs, and smaller critters had plenty of treats at the ready. Some of the shelter dogs are anxious even without the added stress of pyrotechnics, Anderson said. Those are the main ones that we're especially trying to make sure that we've got somebody with them the whole time, he said. Several volunteers, like Lisa Paul of Normal, brought books to read to their shelter pups while they listened to soft music. It's a win-win situation, Paul said. I need to catch up on some of my reading. They don't care about the words that I'm saying. All they care about is the nice, calm demeanor. She sat with Mac. Mac is a 1-year-old German Shepherd who laid in his kennel listening to her read. He didn't seem too worried about any of the commotion that surrounded him. Paul's own dog spent the holiday at home with her husband watching action movies to drown out the fireworks. Roy Carpenter and Jennifer Love, both of Bloomington, picked the cat side of the animal shelter, distracting them with strings, toys, and bells. I know a lot of animals. Fireworks can bother them, so it's kind of nice that they're opening their doors and they're thinking about them, said Love, who has already given a few HSCI cats a permanent home. And that article was presented by Kelsey Watzner, and she can be reached at 309-820-3254, and there are related pictures of some of the parades and vintage boats and parks captured on the 4th on page A3, which we'll talk about. And then next comes an article about kindergarten readiness. A survey has been taken, and we'll read on here. The majority of Illinois students who started kindergarten last kindergarten last year, including those in Districts 87 and Unit 5 schools, were short of many of the markers needed for long-term success in school. This is according to a report from the Illinois State Board of Education. The Kindergarten Individual Development Survey, or KIDS, report indicates only 26% of those students demonstrated they were ready to start school, based on three developmental areas: social and emotional development, language and literacy development, and math. Based on early observations, the KIDS measure provided a proxy of readiness rather than a comprehensive view, according to the survey report. So it showed just a little of their readiness rather than the whole scale. This assessment is different than others in the state because it's telling the story of where students are when they enter school, not how they are achieving because of school, said Diane Wolf, Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction at Bloomington District 87. She believes that our community and families begin a student's educational experience, with 98% of kindergartners testing in District 87, only 27% demonstrated readiness in all three areas. At McLean County Unit 5, about 80% of kindergartners were rated, and of those, 37% were deemed ready in all three areas. And the article continues on here on page 2 to state that for the readiness survey, kindergarten teachers collected observations, measurements of nearly 116,000 students within the first 40 days of the school year. They evaluated student development on a minimum of 14 required measures, which were categorized into three areas. District 87 administrators will evaluate the kids' data along with other assessment and professional observations by teachers to adjust our curriculum, add needed resources, and offer opportunities for families to participate in their students' educational journey, Wolf said. Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel said the administrators have just begun to dig into the data. We plan to use it to examine our early childhood and kindergarten programs and to identify the strengths of our programs as well as opportunities for growth, he said. The KIDS report showed statewide disparities between racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. State Superintendent of Education Carmine Aya said the Illinois State Board of Education will work to close these gaps in development. Systematic inequities in resources, opportunities, can negatively impact the development of young children, she said in a statement. We look forward to continuing to work with lawmakers to increase the state's investment in early childhood education and close gaps in development as early as possible. The state budget for the coming year includes a $50 million increase in funding for early childhood block grant programs, enough to serve an estimated 4,600 to 5,800 additional students, according to the Illinois State Board of Education. And we'll go back to the front page now for some national news, which was kind of a wake-up on the 4th of July. Strongest quake in 20 years rattles California. The strongest earthquake in 20 years shook a large swath of Southern California and parts of Nevada on Thursday, rattling nerves on the 4th of July holiday and causing injuries and damage in a town near the epicenter, followed by a swarm of ongoing aftershocks. The 6.4 magnitude earthquake struck at 10:33 a.m. in the Mojave Desert, about 150 miles northeast of California, near the town of Ridgecrest, California. Injuries and two house fires were reported in the town of 28,000. Emergency crews were also dealing with small vegetation fires, gas leaks, and reports of cracked roads, Kern County Fire Chief David Witt said. He said 15 patients were evacuated from the Ridgecrest Hospital. We'll continue on page 2 to learn that this was a precautionary removal and out of concern for aftershocks. Kern County District Supervisor Mick Gleason told CNN there were some structural issues with the hospital and some patients had to be moved from one ward to another and that others were taken to a neighboring building. Gleason did not say what the structural issues were. Ridgecrest Mayor Peggy Breeden said the utility workers were assessing broken gas lines and turning off gas where necessary. The local senior center was holding a July 4th event when the quake hit, and everyone made it out, shaken, but without injury, she said. Oh my goodness, said another. There's another quake right now, Breeden said, on live television as an aftershock struck. Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency for Kern County. The declaration means that the state will help the county and municipalities in it with emergency aids and recovery efforts. Ridgecrest Mayor Peggy Breeden praised Newsom for declaring the emergency. She also noted at a news conference that other nearby governments offered to help the recovery effort. President Donald Trump was fully briefed on the earthquake and that all seems to be very much under control. The police and fire officials said it at a news conference Thursday afternoon that they have enough resources so far to meet needs in the wake of the earthquake. Ridgecrest Police Chief Jed McLaughlin said at a news conference that, quote, we have plenty of resources. The California Highway Patrol, Lieutenant John Williams said officials found cracks on several roads in the county, but overpasses and underpasses are in good shape. A series of aftershocks, including a 4.5 magnitude tremor, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, occurred. It almost gave me a heart attack, said Cora Burke, a waitress at the Midway Cafe in Ridgecrest, of the Big Jolt. It's just a rolling feeling inside the building and inside the cafe, and all of a sudden everything started falling off the shelf. Glasses and refrigerator and everything in the small refrigerator just fell over. Video posted online of the liquor store in Ridgecrest showed aisles filled with broken wine, liquor bottles, knocked down boxes, and other groceries strewn on the floor, and flames were seen shooting out of one home in the community. Lucy Jones, a seismologist for the California Institute of Technology Seismology Lab, said the earthquake was the strongest since the 7.1 quake struck in the area on October 16th of 1999. If you'll remember that one, it was during the World Series. This has been an extremely quiet, abnormal time, Jones said. This type of earthquake is much more normal. The long-term average is probably once every 5 or 10 years somewhere in Southern California. Jones said that the 6.4 earthquake centered near the town of Ridgecrest was preceded by a magnitude 4.2 tremor about half an hour earlier. She said vigorous aftershocks were occurring and that she wouldn't be surprised if a magnitude 5 quake hit, but that they were striking in a remote, sparsely populated area. This is an isolated enough area that it's going to greatly reduce the damage, she said. People from Las Vegas to the Pacific Coast reported feeling a rolling motion and took to social media to report it. Local emergency agencies also took to social media to ask people to only call 911 for specific emergencies. There were no reports of serious damage or injuries in Los Angeles, the LAPD said. The earthquake was detected by California's new Shake Alert system, and it provided 48 seconds of warning to the seismology lab well before the shake arrived at Caltech in LA, in the suburb of Pasadena. But it did not trigger a public warning through an app recently made available in Los Angeles County. USGS seismologist Robert Graves said Shake Alert system did work properly. And Graves said it calculated an intensity level for the Los Angeles area that was below the threshold for public alert. The limits are intended to avoid false alarms. And on page two, you have a picture of the seismologist Lucy Jones talking with a news conference at Caltech lab on Thursday, and a strong quake rattled a large area in, again, parts of California and Nevada. That was Thursday morning. And finally, we'll go back to President Trump. And Washington saying stay, Trump saying stay true to our cause. And we learned that President Donald Trump celebrated the greatest political journey in human history in a 4th of July commemoration before a soggy but cheering crowd of spectators, many of them invited on the grounds of the Lincoln Memorial. Supporters welcomed his tribute to the U.S. military while protesters assailed him for putting himself center stage on a holiday devoted to unity. As rain fell on him, Trump called on Americans to stay true to our cause during a program that adhered to patriotic themes and hailed an eclectic mix of history's heroes from the armed forces, space, civil rights, and other endeavors of American life. He largely stuck to his script, avoiding diversions into his agenda or reelection campaign. But in one exception, he vowed, "Very soon we will plant the American flag on Mars." Actually, a distant goal not likely to be achieved until the late 2020s, if then. A late afternoon downpour drenched the Capitol's Independence Day crowds, and Trump's speech unfolded in occasional rain. The warplanes, let's see, warplanes. The warplanes and presidential aircraft he had summoned conducted their flyovers as planned, capped by the Navy Blue Angels aerobatics team by adding his own one-hour Salute to America production to Capitol festivities, that typically drew hundreds of thousands anyway. Trump became the first president in nearly 7 centuries to address the crowd at the National Mall on the 4th of July. This article continues on page two and states protesters objecting to what they saw as his co-opting of the holiday inflated a roly-poly balloon depicting Trump as an angry diaper-clad baby. Trump set aside his historic piece of real estate, a stretch of the mall from the Lincoln Memorial Monument to the midpoint of the reflecting pool, for a mix of invited military members, Republican and Trump campaign donors, and other bigwigs. It's where Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech. Barack Obama and Trump held inaugural concerts, and protesters swarmed into the water when supporters of Nixon put on a 4th of July 1970 celebration, with the president sending a taped remark from California. Aides to the crowd, obsessed Trump, fretted about the prospect of empty seats at his event and said a person familiar with the planning who was not authorized to be identified. Aides scrambled in recent days to distribute tickets and mobilize the Trump and GOP social media accounts to encourage participation for an event hastily arranged and surrounded with confusion. Back at the White House, Trump tweeted an aerial photo showing an audience that filled both sides of the memorial's reflecting pool and stretched to the Washington Monument, a great crowd of tremendous patriots this evening, all the way back to the Washington Monument, he said. Many who filed into the sprawling VIP section said they got their free tickets from members of Congress or from friends or neighbors who couldn't use theirs. Outside that zone, a diverse mix of visitors, local veterans, tour groups, immigrant families, and more milled about, some drawn by Trump, some by curiosity, some by the holidays' regular activities along the mall. Protesters earlier made their voices heard in sweltering heat by the Washington Monument along the traditional parade route and elsewhere, while the VIP section at the reflecting pool served as something of a buffer for Trump's event. In the shadow of the Washington Monument, hours before Trump's speech, the anti-war organization Code Pink erected its 20-foot-tall Trump baby balloon to protest what activists saw as his intrusion in Independence Day and focus on military might that we associate with martial regimes. "We think he's making this about himself, and it's really a campaign rally," said Medea Benjamin, the organization's co-director. "We think he's a big baby. He's erratic, he's prone to tantrums, and doesn't understand consequences of his action." Trump sounded a defensive note Wednesday, tweeting that the cost will be very little compared to what it's worth. But he glossed over a host of expenses associated with the display of military might, including flying in planes and tanks and other vehicles to Washington by rail. Not since 1951, when President Harry Truman spoke before a large gathering on the Washington Monument grounds to mark the 175th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, has a commander-in-chief made an Independence Day speech to a sizable crowd on the mall. Two groups, the National Parks Conservation Foundation and Democracy Forward, want the Interior Department's internal watchdog to investigate what they say may be a potentially unlawful decision to divert National Parks money to this Trump spectacle. Trump has longed for a public display of U.S. military prowess ever since he watched a two-hour procession of French military tanks and fighter jets in Paris on Bastille Day in July 2017. Washington has held an Independence Day celebration for decades, featuring parades along Constitution Avenue, a concert on the Capitol lawn with music by the National Symphony Orchestra, and fireworks beginning at dusk near the Washington Monument. Trump altered the lineup by adding his speech, moving the fireworks closer to the memorial, Lincoln Memorial, and summoning tanks and warplanes. So that concludes our page one headlines. We've talked about the kindergarten survey, about the earthquake, about taking care of those animals who don't have a home, and finally about the celebrations that went on in the nation's capital. And let's take a quick look here at Flick's Fact. Okay. He says, running for president is Bernie Sanders, and he says if elected, he'd like to see all college debt paid up and erased. How would that go over with the graduates at ISU? Any ideas? Well, let's find out what Flick did and what he has to say. Well, Actually, they're not as elated as at other colleges. A third of ISU graduates get a diploma and also have no debt. It's one of the top rates in the U.S. for that, according to a Washington Monthly, a college guide that ranks best buys in the country. So if you've got a student that's heading to college, ISU gets your diploma and is one of the best for a no debt rate. Something to think about, mom and dad and student. And then we have highlights for today. Today is Friday, July the 5th, the 186th day of 2019. Oh my goodness, only 179 days left in the year. So we learned that on July 5th, 1954, Elvis Presley's first commercial recording session took place at Sun Records in Memphis, Tennessee, and his song was That's All Right. And on this date in 1811, Venezuela became the first South American country to declare independence from Spain. In 1865, the Secret Service Division of the U.S. Treasury was founded in Washington, D.C., with the mission of suppressing counterfeit money. And let's see, our thought for today, never let your sense of morals prevent you from doing what is right. Isaac Asimov, 1920 to 1992. And then we have some other looks back in history. These include 100 years ago today, Vernon Jackson of Cooksville, just home from the war zone, was notified that he had been awarded the French Croix de Guerre. While under heavy enemy fire, Jackson and another man climbed a pole and fixed a vital telephone line. In World War II, 75 years ago today, an early morning fire on the Roy Jacobs farm near Weston caused heavy losses of grain, straw, fertilizer, and machinery. A black Angus calf and a few pigs were also lost. High winds kept those flames from reaching the house and machine shed. I can't believe it, but 50 years ago in 1969, plans for a Center Street bridge were part of the blueprint for moving Route 51 off of Main Street in downtown Bloomington. Bid letting could begin as soon as August with a year for construction, and the bridge would carry traffic over the railroad tracks at the south edge of downtown. And only 25 years ago, already, 1994 was here, and another set of triplets was born in the community, this time at the Miller Park Zoo. Those babies were red wolf cubs, born May 13th, and they were 7 weeks old now, said John Tobias, and says they're out on their own, running around, but still in captivity. So that's a look back at our history, and a little bit of what's going on in today's world. And at this point, we will take a short break and then return for the second half hour of the Pantograph for Friday, July 5th, 2019. Please stay tuned.